You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 17th of April 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've got some trans news today. The transgender agenda seems to be steamrolling its way through society. I don't think there's any area in society today that is not affected by transgenderism. We have politicians being asked what a woman is, and it's seen as scandalous for someone to say that a woman does not have a penis. And it goes all the way from the MPs all the way to the schools. And today we have a teacher who claims she was left humiliated after being ordered to apologise to 11-year-olds at a private girls' school for calling them girls. So it's at a girls' school, and you're no longer allowed to call girls girls at a girls' school. And of course, this will be because there will be a biological female at the school who presents as a male, who is going through a social transition. And that means that nobody else there at the school can be called girls. They have to be called girls and boys. But the fact of the matter is, the person cannot actually change their birth certificate, and the birth certificate will say female upon it. And if you're a teacher, you're supposed to refer to the child in your class by the gender that it has on the birth certificate. Kemi Badenoch told us this last year. It solved this problem, but the schools don't seem to be going along with it. And of course, the schools aren't going along with it because they've had these activist groups there that are telling them that they're transphobic if they don't affirm a person's chosen gender. And of course, they don't want to be transphobic. And they're told by these activists that if they don't go along with this, that the child could get depressed and the child could commit suicide. And the end result of all of this is just to cause all this confusion within the schools. And I think the school pupils probably find it the height of hilarity to call the teachers up on this for not being woke enough in the language that they're using and causing problems for them. And that seems to be what is happening here. Bosses at the £20,000 a year school told the woman to deliver the mea culpa after her class complained that she had said "good afternoon, girls" at the start of a lesson. The Mail on Sunday can reveal. So the teacher was literally just being polite and just referring to the girls by the same terminology that all girls have been referred to since the advent of the English language. And now, I guess she's supposed to say good afternoon, persons, good afternoon, girls and boys. Perhaps there's somebody there that is intersex. Good afternoon, students, I should imagine, is what they're going to be told that they should be saying. But doesn't that exclude all the girls from being called girls? Doesn't that exclude their individuality of not being boys? You're sort of assuming that they're all together there, students, girls and boys, but it's an exclusive school. It's a school that is specifically for girls. Surely if there is somebody that is presenting as a male, they should be going to a boys' school and they should have their parents behind this. And even then, because the sex will be female on the birth certificate, the teachers should really be referring to them by their by what's on the birth certificate. After being told by the pupils that not everyone here identifies as female, she arrived in class the following day to find they had pointedly written their names and pronouns on the board, including one who used they, them. So they would have got into trouble if they said boys and girls, because they had a gender fluid pupil here who used they and them. This is what makes me think it appeals to these students, because it means that they've got one over on the teacher, doesn't it? means they got one up on them. It means they're more woke than the teachers are. They also held a lunchtime protest after she refused to acknowledge to their demands. So I imagine they had placards there that they were waving around. Last night, the philosophy and religious education teacher spoke of her belief that she was managed out by senior staff at the prestigious institution, which is part of the Independent Girls' Day School Trust, but only after she was forced to publicly apologise. How dare she refer to the pupils at a girls' school as girls? I should imagine part of this may be that they didn't like the fact that she was a religious education teacher. I mean, I'm just making a guess there. She may have been Christian, or she may have been traditionalist Christian, or brought up with the church. And so perhaps the pupils may have been anti-Christian. I mean, I don't know that is a part of this. And it does often seem that it is people with deeply held religious beliefs who don't want to go in for all this transgenderism at the schools and that insist on referring to pupils by the gender that is on their birth certificate. Particularly there was that teacher over in Ireland who ended up actually spending time in prison because he refused to call the pupil by the gender that they wanted to be known by. He said, it's against my beliefs. My beliefs are that God created man, woman and female. Male and female created he them, and that there isn't anything in between. And when you use the word man, it means man and woman. And when you specify, you talk about boys and girls or ladies and gentlemen. And that should include everyone. But as we see here, it doesn't include they, them. I guess it doesn't include Z either, which is another of these pronouns that they've come up with. The woman who gave evidence last week to an ongoing review into child and adolescent gender dysphoria care, led by paediatrician Dr. Hilary Cass, said the problems began in May 2021 after some Year 7 students complained where she greeted the class with "Good afternoon, girls." Dr. Hilary Cass, I think that was the doctor that was responsible for the report into the Tavistock clinic, the recent report that said that at this clinic they were not properly investigating other reasons that there could be for this presentation of gender dysphoria, things such as autism, body dysmorphia, bipolar, bulimia, anorexia, all sorts of reasons why teenagers may feel awkward within their own body that may not be genuine gender dysphoria. But if these doctors say, well, it might be something else, then they're not affirming the chosen gender, are they? Which means that they're being transphobic. And since the guidance is that what should be done in these cases is institute social transitioning and gender affirming care, that means they're going against the official guidance. Or so it was until this investigation by Dr. Hilary Cass into the Tavistock clinic. And now they've shut the Tavistock clinic down and they said that there needs to be a more holistic care plan that looks into these other reasons why people might present as gender dysphoric. And it also needs to be at a local level instead of just having this one central clinic that deals with it in London. So this Dr. Hilary Cass sounds like quite a good person, I should imagine. And the fact that she's or he is having something to do with this teacher here who was humiliated for not using the right pronouns, that also adds in their favour. As I say, I'm not sure if it's a male or female. Hilary could be either male or female. After being told that not everyone identified as female, one pupil stood up and challenged her to acknowledge their pronouns. This is the bit that makes me think that maybe this was going against her because she was Christian, sort of forcing her to acknowledge these different pronouns that they have. But the teacher, who has requested anonymity to protect the pupils, replied that if their pronouns differed from their biological sex, she would need to involve parents. So then we have this other factor here now, that we realise that the parents had not even been told that this person was socially transitioning, which is against the guidance that Kemi Badenoch gave. But I think it's something like 60% of the schools are now doing this. I may be wrong. We did a Daily Nationalist on this investigation into this the other day that said how many schools were actually doing this social transitioning without telling the parents. And it was quite a sizable percentage, possibly 60%. We know that that's what the guidance is telling them in Scotland, that teachers themselves can diagnose if there's gender dysphoria in a pupil. There's no need for a doctor to actually diagnose it. And then they should begin socially transitioning them. And if they feel that the parents might be against it, then they shouldn't be telling the parents. And of course, that's what these activists have told them to do. But it goes against all the safeguarding rules. It goes against the fact that when a parent sends their child to school, they are expecting the teachers to act as surrogate parents, and they are expecting the teachers to tell them anything of importance about their child. And the fact that they're not doing that, and they're socially transitioning some of these children without telling the parents, goes right against the very foundations of this this safeguarding teaching that all schools have. The teacher then said she sought guidance from the head of year about what to do if a pupil was experiencing gender dysphoria, a term used to describe a mismatch between biological sex and gender. I believe they had there's another term for it as well that they seem to be using more often. But when you think about the term itself, gender dysphoria, it's dysphoria. It's not euphoria. It's the opposite of feeling happy. It means somebody who is very unhappy because they are unhappy at being the gender that they're in. It's not something that you would want to encourage in people. Surely you would want to do all that you could to dissuade somebody from feeling this dysphoria. You would try to encourage them to be happy in the gender that they're in so they no longer have this dysphoria, rather than encouraging them in the beliefs that they are actually the wrong spirit within the wrong body, and that the only way to fix this is with body modification and delaying puberty. And of course, when they delay puberty, you need puberty because you need your brain to change so that you can make adult decisions. And if they've been put on these puberty blockers, and then they go from the puberty blockers onto the opposite sex's hormones and surgeries and things like that, they may not actually have the ability to consent to that because they never went through puberty. So their brain never changed into an adult brain. There are all aspects of this that we just haven't thought about. We've just jumped straight in there thinking, well, we really don't want any more of these people to commit suicide. And how are we going to do that? Well, we'll listen to these activists, we'll listen to these older ones that know for certain that they are transgender, and we'll listen to them. But of course, they're going to be biased, aren't they? They're going to be biased in the fact that it was the right thing for them. What about all the people that it's not the right thing for? That's why you really need to have people wait until they're 18 before they start getting involved in these sort of things, so that they actually have a fully adult brain by that time and can make a proper decision about whether they don't mind being made infertile for the rest of their life. Her superior allegedly told her she had no knowledge of the terminology or whether any communication had even been had with parents on the issue. So the superior is denying all knowledge of these transgender issues. I find it very hard to believe that. And they're saying that there certainly hasn't, or that they're not aware of any communication with parents about this social transitioning of these pupil. The students then held a lunchtime protest against the teacher, and she said senior staff appeared to side with them. I wonder if the superior was with the senior staff here. I was told that they made placards with slogans on, such as "Trans Lives Matter," she said. Before the end of the week, I was in some sort of disciplinary process, and the head of year was telling me I had to apologise to the girls. Again, I don't know if this was head of year was the superior that they were speaking to. I would suggest that the senior staff were probably encouraging them to do this, helping them to do this if they were standing with them and they had these placards and were holding this lunchtime protest. I should imagine they would look at it as, well, this is training for real life. This is getting them involved in politics. Hopefully they will feel strongly enough about subjects when they're away from school, when they're adults, they'll feel strongly enough to protest in aid of something. So they're probably thinking of it in terms like that. But in actual fact, what it's doing is just undermining the discipline at the school. And it's undermining the fact that it is a girls' school, and therefore the pupils there should be referred to as girls. The teacher then described how she was accompanied by the head of year, who addressed the pupils while she stood to one side. I mean, how humiliating is that? You've got this teacher that is speaking for you when you're actually there and could speak for yourself. She said she spoke to the children on my behalf, saying no one here would want to hurt you and you are all really loved by us. And this is what we see. Everyone is so desperate not to upset these transgenders, because they've been told that if it is because of people not referring to them by their pronouns, that's the reason why they commit suicide. But from what I can see of it, what causes them to commit suicide is when they're a little bit older and they realize that they have made changes to their body that are irreversible. They can't have children. They've had surgery, they've messed their brain up by not having puberty, and they realise that in actual fact, they can't actually change into being the opposite gender. The grown-ups lied to them when they were a child by saying that they could actually change, and they realise that they have the opposite gender's hand size, they have the opposite gender's feet size, they have the opposite gender's pelvic bones, and they either have an Adam's apple or they don't have an Adam's apple, and then they realise that they're never actually going to make a convincing copy of the opposite gender. All they can do is damage their body. And I think that's what leads to the depression and the suicide. And if we were not encouraging these children to believe that they were the opposite gender, and we weren't giving them these hormone blockers, puberty blockers and hormones, and setting them on that path, I think the majority of them would find that it was just a fad that they were going through, because that is what used to happen. We used to have tomboys, used to have effeminate boys, and 9 times out of 10, they would just right themselves by the times that they were 15 or 16, once they started going through puberty. And now we've suddenly had this huge explosion in children that are presenting with gender dysphoria, and nobody is investigating why. All they're doing is saying, well, how should we deal with this? Well, we should just listen to the children, and if they tell us the other gender, we should believe them. And that's what these activists are saying. And it's quite insane, really. You wouldn't apply this to any other aspect of life when you're a child. The child says you want to smoke, so let the child smoke. Child says they want to drive the car, so let them drive the car. The child says that they feel like they're a bus today or they're a tractor tomorrow, then you've got to refer to them as that. It just doesn't make sense. But as soon as they say they're transgender, they get all this extra attention. You get all this extra attention. People have to be careful about what they say around them, and they get this power to dictate how teachers refer to them, what pronouns they're actually going to use. And of course, as I say here, getting back to this article here, whenever this happens, there's always somebody that stands up and says, we don't want to hurt you. We all really love you. And of course, that's really taken for granted, isn't it? I don't think they should be pandering to these pupils. They should be saying, well, okay, if you feel you have this gender dysphoria, you have to stay as you are until you're 18, because otherwise there is too much risk that somebody might be given these drugs or start on these surgeries, and they might not actually genuinely have gender dysphoria, and they could end up messing up their body. Surely you don't want that to happen. You don't want people to mess up their body by mistake. And all you have to do is just wait until you're 18, and then you can make this decision. Surely that would be really showing love for the whole group, rather than this fake love that they're saying here, which is really just pandering to the transgenders among them. Surely the real love would be to say, well, why don't you show some love back by just waiting until you're 18 to make certain that somebody doesn't get into all of this by mistake and end up being rendered infertile, never able to enjoy sex, and cutting off parts of their body by mistake because they were deluded. I mean, that's showing real love. She then worded the apology in terms of, I am sorry you're upset and we didn't mean to offend. I'm sorry you felt bad, but it was all pretty humiliating and embarrassing. Exceptionally so. I mean, they're treating this teacher like they are a naughty pupil, bringing them up there on the stage and then not allowing them to speak and apologising for them. The teacher said the problem started less than a week after the sixth form's diversity and inclusion prefects delivered an assembly on gender and pronouns. And where did they get their information from to give this ceremony, this assembly? Well, it would have come from the activists, wouldn't it? It would have come from the LGBTQ activists, Mermaids and Stonewall and these other organisations, these pro-transgender organisations that will be saying to them that it is possible for somebody to be born into the wrong body and that the differences between male and female are all just social constructs, rather than saying that there is an inherent difference between male and female. I mean, this idea that there is no difference between them, that's led to quite a few women being seriously harmed during sports when you have biological males that are presenting as a female for transgender purposes and then taking part in women's sports. During the session, the 17 and 18-year-olds, this is on their assembly on gender and pronouns, showed a video discussing gender identities and sex being assigned at birth. So they're indoctrinating all the other pupils into believing this fantasy that biological sex doesn't really exist. It's all about gender and it's all in the mind about what sex you are. The tutor believes that as a result of her refusal to capitulate to her students' gender demands, she was managed out. So she was encouraged to leave the school, basically, because she wouldn't go along with this, because she went to a girls' school and referred to the girls there as girls. She said the head teacher rejected her application to remain at the school after her one-term contract came to an end. So I think it's quite clear here that the authorities in the school are supporting the students here on their ideas about gender and pronouns, and they're not sticking to the actual guidance. Of course, the government has said they're going to update all this guidance and bring it out, but you know, how long is it going to take them until they bring out the proper guidance? Why couldn't they just, you know, repeat what Kemi Badenoch has said and say to these teachers, well, you have to refer to the pupils as what it says on their birth certificate, because they can't change the birth certificate until they're 18, unless you've got some guidance from the parents that it would be a good idea to do this, and also from a doctor that it would be a good idea to do this. But of course, they're not saying that either. We're still waiting on the government to actually come out with the official guidance on this for schools. The Girls' Day School Trust, a group of 25 schools and academies, attracted attention in January 2022 after it controversially updated its gender identity policy to ban applications from students who are legally male but identify as trans or non-binary. So why are they allowing this then? You know, they've already taken a step there to protect the status of the biological females at the school. Yet they're now going into this and having a go at this teacher for referring to them as girls. It defended the move, saying that it was necessary to protect its school's single-sex status. And last night, a spokesman for the trust declined to comment. So they acknowledged that they are a single-sex school, yet they're going to expect the teachers to refer to the pupils as if they're not single-sex. I mean, it's just a recipe for confusion, isn't it? And this comes on top of learning that there may have been a massive overestimation on the numbers of transgenders in the population as well. MPs and campaigners have voiced concerns about an exaggerated focus on transgender issues after it emerged that official statistics may have significantly overestimated the trans population. How can you have an overestimation when you're talking about the census here? Well, it comes after findings from the Office for National Statistics have suggested there are 262,000 transgender people in England and Wales that should be treated with caution, academics said. They're saying there are 250,000 transgenders in England. However, Carl Hennigan, director of Oxford University's Centre for Evidence-Based Medicine, said the ONS findings could be biased because it does not do fieldwork to test their validity. He backed Michael Biggs, an associate professor in sociology at Oxford, who believes the question used to record gender identity in the 2021 census may have confused respondents whose main language was not English. So people who don't speak English very well may have been confused by the question. It appears the reason for this is because the numbers of these transgenders seem to be the highest in the areas that are majority Muslim. And you don't really tend to find many transgenders amongst the Muslim community. Both academics believe this may explain why the London boroughs of Newham and Brent, where many speak English as a second language, recorded the highest proportion of transgender people in the UK. It may also explain why 1 in 67 Muslims said they were transgender, they said. I mean, that could be a little bit embarrassing for these Muslims, couldn't it? You got the government putting all these resources into the Islamic community to help the transgenders because they think 1 in 67 of them are actually transgender, and it was just because they didn't understand the question. Other anomalies included Brighton and Hove, home to the country's longest-running trans pride celebration, but having the 20th largest trans population. So the place that you would think had the highest number of trannies, it was actually coming 20th. Dr. Biggs said in the Spectator magazine that the ONS data was scarcely credible. The ONS published figures in January showing 262,000 people, or 0.5% of the population over 16, declared themselves as transgender, which was based on answers to the 2021 census. And they used to say that like about 1% or 2% of the population was homosexual, and about 1% of the homosexual community was transgender. And now they're saying here that there's 0.5%. I mean, if it was 1% of the homosexual population, they were just 1 to 2%, that would be 0.01%, surely. But it seems to have gone up to 0.5. So they've got a huge percentage of people here that they are telling us are transgender. I've come across one transgender person in my life. I think maybe I've seen one in a pub, but not significant enough to be making up 0.5% of the population, I think. Of the 262,000, 118,000 did not provide extra detail, while 48,000, or 0.1% of the population, aged 16 and over, identified as a trans man. And again, this is confusing because we hear that the fastest growing increase in people with gender dysphoria are females that are identifying as men. And yet these statistics here are telling us that it's 0.1% that are females identifying as men, and 0.4% that are males declaring that they're females. Adults whose first language was not English accounted for 10% of the population, but made up 29% of the trans total. So they're saying people that are non-white are three times as likely to be a transgender. I don't think that's very accurate. Those who speak English poorly were also found to be five times more likely to be trans. So are they saying that not being able to speak English very well, that's now a euphemism for being transgender? The ONS said its gender identity census results were broadly consistent with NHS data collected in the same year. However, the statistics regulator is now examining the concerns that the data behind the landmark census figure on the transgender population may be inaccurate. A spokesman said, whilst the question on gender identity was tested thoroughly, it is possible individual responses were affected by different interpretations of the question. We will do more work to understand whether that was an issue. And they don't actually tell us what the question was. If the question was translated into another language, then it may have been a little bit confusing. But I doubt very much whether there is a very high population of transgenders amongst the Islamic community somehow. But it's interesting that they're going to investigate that, and perhaps we have slightly less transgenders than we thought. But there does seem to be a huge increase in number, and I would suggest that that was related to the promotion of transgenderism and the celebration of it, and making it look desirable to children, because that's where we're seeing this highest increase. And that should really be the biggest concern, is the high number of children that there are that are now presenting with this gender dysphoria. We are really just creating problems for ourselves and for these children in the future if we continue to go along this gender affirming path for under 18 year olds, I think. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.